Greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. And this is for the recording date of Sunday, February the 16th, 2014. And what we want to do is to continue with this subject matter. We want to continue to uplift the youth and the babies and speak prophecy into their lives so that they may know and understand that their mission is to do the will of the Most High, manifest and personify Christ in human flesh. We want to teach the youth and equip the youth and the babies to see unity between the religious community and the scientific community through the teaching of religion as pure science. The manner in which the African ancestors introduced this religio-scientific cosmological knowledge of the universe, so that the youth and the babies may win the scientists and win the religious community. When I say religious community, I am not speaking of just Christians. I'm speaking also of Muslims and Jews and Hindus and Buddhists and Zoroaster and various indigenous religions and spiritualities all over this earth. We want and we need the youth and the babies to be able to go in and out of all the communities, uniting the communities together on this truth of the Most High, Yahuwah, existing and living for all. Now let me tie up some loose ends and correct a couple of errors that I might have made. When we talk about the African Hebrew Israelite nation and their captivity and slavery in Egypt, Kemet is the indigenous name for that which the European Greeks referred to as Egypt. The indigenous people referred to the land as Kemet. So we said that the Hyksos were they who enslaved the African Hebrews. The Hyksos came into Mesopotamia around 2000 BC. Hyksos from Europe, from the Caucasus Mountains, Caucasian Asiatic Caucasus Mountains. These came down into Mesopotamia around 2000 BC, made their way through the Arabian Peninsula. Around 1750 BC, they took the throne in Egypt, took the kingdom, overthrew the black man, pushed the black man and woman off of the throne. See, this is important that we know this history so that we may deal truthfully with the history of the human family so that we may properly understand, how do you call it, the faults within the human family, the deficiencies within the human family. We have to know history truthfully in order to deal with our defects and our faults. So, 1750 BC, the Hyksos took the throne, pushed the African Hebrew, African Kemet off of the throne. That period of slavery lasted 200 years to around 1550 BC, give or take 100 years. And then is the rise of Moshe, Ak Moshe, sons of Sekeninre, who rose from the south to oppose the European invader Hyksos and eventually overthrew them. And then you have the picture of Moses leading the African Hebrews out of slavery as an emissary of the new liberating throne of Egypt, the black man on the throne again. And now Moses goes into Israel, Palestine with this liberation message to free the sisters and brothers in that region that we call Israel, Palestine. So we wanted to correct the date. We wanted to correct the dates on that. We mentioned glory as being feminine. Now, in the Hebrew, in the African Hebrew, the word glory is masculine. Now, this is so interesting because the African ancestors, they scientifically analyzed the creation all the way down to atoms and molecules and so on and so forth. Now, the word glory in the African Hebrew, and let's hear the pronunciation. Let me see here with this technology. Let's hear the pronunciation of the word glory in the African Hebrew language.
Strong's H3519. Kavod. Kavod.
Kavod is a masculine noun. It means glory, honor, glorious, abundance, riches, splendor, reverence. The whole of creation speaks of the glory of the Most High. The riches and abundance of creation, you and I included. We are crowned, Hebrews now, the mankind, the human being is crowned with the glory of the Most High. Now, when you get to the word glory in the Greek language, and remember that the African Hebrews wrote the Old Testament in the Greek language in Egypt so that the European Greek sisters and brothers would have this knowledge, that they would use this knowledge to help us to overthrow the system of wickedness and the system of slavery and exploitation. Now, the word glory in the European Greek language, let's hear the pronunciation.
Strong's G1391, doxa. Doxa.
Doxa is a feminine noun, and this word in the Greek means opinion, judgment, view. The actions of an individual help us to determine our judgment, view, and opinion and estimation of that individual, whether they are good or bad. So this word also means splendor and brightness, because when you look at the sun and the brightness and you look at the creation, it reflects the brightness and the glory of the Most High. Angels are in the definition as reflecting the brightness and glory of the Most High. And so this word we get in the Greek now, after the European Greeks learned this knowledge and understanding from the African Hebrews, we see that the word comes feminine. Now, I want to tie this up by showing something in the African Hebrew again. You remember when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and his face shone? His face shone. Now, the word shone is 7160. Let's hear the pronunciation.
Strong's H, 7160. Karan. Karan.
Karan.
Second entry. Karan. Karan.
Karan is a verb, and it means to shone, to send out rays, to display or grow horns. So we're looking at the sun. We're looking at light, and we're looking at rays. Now let me see. Now this word, Quran, it almost sounds like Quran. Isn't that interesting? We want the youth and the babies to be able to go in and out of all the of the whole of the religious community so that they may be able to win all to this truth of life and existing for all. Now watch this now, sisters and brothers. When you go to 7161, let's hear the pronunciation on this word.
Strong's H, 7161. Karen. Karen.
Karen, which is a root of Karen, Karen is a feminine noun and means horn, horn of strength, a flask shaped like a horn as an instrument, a horn like the projections on the altar. There were two horns on the sacred altar in the temple. And this word also means rays of light. This word is also defined as rays of light. Now, the shone, Moses' face shone. That's a verb. The face is exuding light. Now, the very rays of that light are given this word, Karen, which is a feminine noun, rays of light, because the African Hebrews and the African ancestors analyzed the whole of creation all the way down to the rays of light. Isn't that interesting? And so they saw the rays of light as feminine. So you go back and forth to masculine and feminine because the Most High, the universe, comes through sacred and divine masculine and sacred and divine feminine. We have to understand that the human family, every man has feminine characteristics and attributes, and every woman has masculine characteristics and attributes. And the human family as a whole, we have within us sacred and divine masculine attributes and sacred and divine feminine attributes. Now, we want to move back to Amos chapter 5 and continue to get into this, finish this introduction into quantum physics, quantum mechanics, study of the atom, the Shabaka stone, the God Almighty grand unified theorem. Now we talk about how this scripture in Amos 5 and 8 comes from Africa, comes from Kemet. You know that region as Egypt. The indigenous refer to that region as Kemet. Remember the seven stars, which were Pleiades, and that constellation of stars was feminine. Remember Orion. That constellation of stars is seen as masculine. Remember, we are overturning the shadow of death, the image of a system of death, hell, and destruction, into the morning, which has to do with life. And the Most High maketh the dark, the day dark with night. So now we see the proper usage of darkness and the darkness as the womb that produces light. So we see the proper usage for darkness producing light rather than using darkness to produce death. Every facet of creation must be used in the proper fashion and manner. And how the Most High calls the waters of the sea, and waters masculine, sea masculine, having to do with the sacred and divine masculine being the generator of the seed of life, germ of life that we call sperm. So that whole water reality begins with the male, the masculine, and is emitted into the sacred and divine feminine. And now we have water, we have cells, we have egg, we have fetus, we have life. Now the waters pour on the face of the earth, and face is masculine, but earth is feminine. Eretz is feminine, because we're looking at the combination of sacred divine masculine and sacred and divine feminine in Kemet. The earth is seen as masculine with the god Geb, G-E-B, Geb, the personification and manifestation of the Most High, examining the earth, seeing that sacred divine masculine as Geb, okay? But then the inside of the earth is seen as feminine, so you have Eretz here showing us that the earth, after having received the waters, and then you have the sun making the morning, making the dark turn to light and day. So you have the interplay of the sun with the water in the womb of the earth, and you have the rays of the sun. Remember, we said the rays is Karen, rays of the sun, Karen, and that's feminine, white, bright light. But the shown, the verb, that comes masculine, because the male is the action, and the feminine, the female, receives the action. So you have the sacred masculine and the sacred feminine working together, and you have photosynthesis in the earth, in the vegetation, and the Allah-ing, and the word Allah is a verb that has to do with ascending, not descending, but ascending, growing, bringing up, causing to come up, causing to excel and come up and rise up. So photosynthesis, the sun, the earth, the waters, and the growing of life and vegetation. See, this whole universe is constructed on the principles and characteristics and attributes and the laws of life, the laws of nature, the natural order of the universe, the laws of life. Now, we have that as a backdrop, and we go again to our brother Oba Tshaka and his revealing to us the teachings of not only Kemet, but the Twa, the Congo sisters and brothers, the original people that were mislabeled pygmy. The Twa and the Kemet, and then you have the Dogon. I used to call them Dogon, but I believe they are referred to as Dogon. The Dogon had teaching that today would be called quantum mechanics and quantum physics. Now, the Dogon, they studied the sun, moon, stars, planets, solar, lunar, astral science. The Dogon, Africans, studied planetary science. And by the movement of the sun, moon, stars, and planets, the Dogon began to understand the blood circulating, the circulatory system as it concerns the blood and how the blood circulates in the body and moves in the body. And so the Dogon began to understand the relationship that the human being has with the universe. That if you study the universe, the great macro universe, you are also in the study of the human being as the mini or micro universe. So now, the Dogon, they had a teaching in which they explained the God-Goddess reality as Ama, or Ama, if I have that word correct. Ama is a word used to encapsulate the God-Goddess reality. See, sisters and brothers, they were studying Orion. They were studying Aset. Aset is called Sirius. S-I-R-I-U-S. The Sirius star system. You have a Sirius A and a Sirius B star that accompanies Sirius A. The European scientists knew nothing of this Sirius B star. You can see Sirius A quite easily, but there was a hidden and unseen star that is now called Sirius B that the Dogon called the Po. The Po star is the seed star, seed of life, germ of life star, seed star, Potolo, the Po seed. Now the Europeans didn't see it, couldn't see it, had to use powerful telescopes to see this star, but the African ancestors could see this star because of being so in tune with spirit, soul, energy of the universe and in tune with the universe. So the African Dogon, they talk about Ama as the God-Goddess having the power to bring in creation. How at one time, yes, Ama, that's the word, Ama. At one time, all were one. No boundaries, no barriers, no distinguishing characteristics, unseen. This unseen world that has more power and more weight than the seen world. The scientists talk about the measuring of the unseen world and how that unseen world that they call dark matter, in other words they use, dark matter, has more weight than the seen world because there is no such thing as nothing. There is only that which we cannot see, and all that we see comes from that reality that we cannot see with the physical eye. So in this time and space and realm of before material reality, Ama begins to act upon this poe seed that lies within the egg of the universe. And so the breath of life, the breath from the Almighty, bursts this egg. And this poe seed, P-O, potolo, P-O-T-O-L-O, for short, they call it the poe seed. This poe seed bursts forth out of the egg of the universe by the power of Amma, God, Goddess, Sacred Divine Masculine Father, Sacred Divine Feminine Mother. Now this poe seed is reflective of the universe. This minuscule, most infinitesimally small particle called the poe seed has within it the great expanse of the universe. Look how great and expansive the universe is. But that greatness started with the poe seed. Did not Yahushua talk about the mustard seed? That same teaching, as great and expansive as that tree becomes, it started as a little itty bitty mustard seed. So this poe seed, having within itself the greatness and expansive reality and every compartment and facet of the universe, this poe seed begins to move about spherically in spirals, emitting light and sound, first invisibly, but then physically, and then materially. And this seed, the Dogon taught us, is masculine and feminine because the universe works on sacred divine masculine and feminine polarity. The physical representations of that poe seed in the Dogon are masculine and feminine. And the masculine has his arm around the feminine. And the masculine has feminine attire. And the feminine has masculine attire to show that the sacred and divine masculine has feminine attributes. And the sacred and divine feminine has masculine attributes. We need to understand this so that we may understand ourselves. I'm a man, but I have sacred and divine feminine characteristics and attributes as well. My wife is a woman, but she has, in addition to the feminine attributes, she has masculine characteristics and attributes as well. The human family, male and female, we have sacred and divine masculine and sacred and divine feminine attributes as well. This is science. This is Africa. Let's take the next break. See you on the other side of the break.